to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Book of Mark, chapter 1. We've first looked at the Christ's miracles over nature, such as storms and etc. We began looking at the healing miracles of Christ, which of course are much more numerous. Most of the miracles in the Gospels are miracles that involved healing of some physical ailment. I believe that they all are pictures of even a greater miracle, the miracle of salvation. We saw in the last few weeks the healing of the nobleman's son. We'd like to read today in Book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 34. And as we read here, you'll see that there are several miracles that transpired at this time. In verse 21, and they, Jesus and apostles, went into Capernaum, and straightway or immediately on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they, that is, those who were in the synagogue, were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. And as the man cried out, the demon cried out through this man, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace," or "be quiet, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon. So we're still same day. And Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And Anna and they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto them. And at evening, so now it's the evening of the same day, still at Peter's house, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Now, both Mark and Luke record the events of this particular Sabbath day in Capernaum, when Jesus, he taught in the synagogue, he healed a demonic in that synagogue, then he went to Peter's house, he healed Peter's mother-in-law, and for those who think that Peter was the first pope, if he was, and he wasn't, he was married, because he had a mother-in-law. As far as I know, that's the only way you can have a mother-in-law, but that's beside the point. And then that evening, people hearing, of course, that Jesus had gone to Peter's house, and having either witnessed what transpired in the synagogue or heard about what had transpired in the synagogue, they gathered at the door of Peter's house, and they brought the diseased with them and also the demon-possessed, and we see that Jesus healed many that evening. So Mark and Luke both record all of those events. Matthew records the healing of Peter's mother-in-law and the healing that took place at the door. He does not record the healing that took place in the synagogue. Notice Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. So we want to look at these three separate miracles that all occurred on this particular Sabbath day. First of all, we want to see the deliverance of this demonic in the synagogue. And again, Mark and Luke both record this event. We see that Jesus, in verse 21, entered into the synagogue and he taught. So that was one of the purposes of Jesus entering the synagogue, was to teach the people. The other purpose, of course, of entering in the synagogue was to heal this, or to deliver, set free this particular demonic. So there they are in the synagogue, and Jesus taught. Now notice Mark and Luke both record that the people were astonished. In verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine. Luke tells us the same thing in Luke chapter 4 and verse 32. That is, they were amazed at what they heard. It's not something that they were accustomed to hearing. It was not the norm of the day, and they were simply shocked. They were simply amazed at what he taught. It's not that they were angry. It's not that they were upset. They were simply amazed at what they were hearing. They had never heard these things before, whatever it was that Jesus taught. And we see that they were astonished at his doctrine. That is, they were astonished at the truths that he was preaching. Again, this is not what they were accustomed to hearing. They were also astonished and stunned at the manner of his teaching. Notice it says, for he taught them as one that had authority. He taught them with power. He taught them with certainty. He did not make any apologies. He did not say, this is the way that I think it is. He just said, this is the way it is. He taught them with authority. This is something that, again, they were not accustomed to. Before, everything was open to evaluation. Everything is open to man's opinion. But Jesus taught with authority. And then notice, his teaching was entirely different. And as it goes on to say, and not as the scribes. He did not teach in the same way as the scribes. That is, he had more authority than the scribes had. He taught with more authority. He taught with more certainty. And he taught differently. And what he said was so far different than what they had heard from the scribes. And Mark tells us, for his word was with power, there in Luke chapter 4 and verse 32. So the people listened to Jesus teach. We have no idea how long he taught. I'm sure it was for several hours, and they were absolutely flabbergasted at what he taught. They were flabbergasted at his manner of teaching, because it was so unlike what they were accustomed to. And when the religious world comes into a New Testament Baptist church, again, they're going to hear things that they are not accustomed to hearing, for the most part. through the Gospels, Jesus is seen often teaching. We're not going to do this today, but you can go through the Gospels and you see many, many times in many, many places Jesus teaching the people, Jesus teaching the multitudes, Jesus teaching the apostles. But Jesus was always teaching. And the reaction to Jesus teaching many times was a reaction of just astonishment. Sometimes the reaction was anger. Usually the anger was from the religious leaders of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees. When they heard Jesus teach, they were usually angered and were ready to stone him. But when the common people heard Jesus speak, for the most part, there are exceptions, of course, but for the most part, their response was not one of anger. Their response was one of surprise. Their response was one of astonishment and amazement at what they were hearing, because this is not what they were accustomed to hearing. Notice in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28. This is at the close of the Sermon on the Mount. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished. They were amazed. They were flabbergasted. They were overwhelmed at the things that he had taught. In Matthew 13, verse 54, Jesus had been teaching by parables. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, inasmuch as they were astonished, and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" So they were astonished at his teaching, but they also recognized, this man has wisdom. They didn't accuse him of being uneducated. They didn't accuse him of being a fool, not knowing what he was talking about. They said, "Where did this man get this wisdom?" Again, they had never heard such. In Matthew 22 and verse 33, "And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine." And what they had heard was about Jesus. In verse 32, "I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when they heard this, they were astonished. Again, they were amazed at his teaching. So all through the Gospels, we see Jesus teaching. And Jesus always taught that which was essential. Everything that Jesus taught was essential. I don't believe that Jesus Christ, like many today, used filler just to fill his time. Everything he taught was essential. It was absolutely needed. And I don't believe that Jesus ever got sidetracked with the trivial. There are many today, if you listen to them, they're more sidetracked with the trivial than what they should be there for. I don't believe Jesus ever got sidetracked with the trivial. And there is a mood today that, a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or whatever, he has to joke around a little bit when he's teaching. He has to be funny so we know he's human. You miss the whole point. You miss everything. You don't even know why you're here if that's what you think. He taught that which was essential. This is not the time to get sidetracked with trivial. This is not the time to go chasing a rabbit over here and another one over here. This isn't the time. If you want to do that outside of church, fine. But The worship hour is not the time. Jesus taught what was essential. And we come to the house of God, we ought to want to hear what is essential. Not go from the house of God. Oh, wasn't that a great joke that he told today? Oh, I just love that illustration that he used. What about the scriptures? Got sidetracked from all of that. And people are more interested in the jokes. People are more interested in the tear-jerking illustrations. They're far more interested in those things than thus saith the Lord. But Jesus never, ever got sidetracked. He taught with great simplicity, though many times they did not understand. He taught with great simplicity. He taught with great practicality. And as long as you stay in the Word of God, it's practical. It's practical. Everything that God's Word teaches is practical. And Jesus taught with practicality because he stayed within the book. He taught with purpose. Every time Jesus taught, he had a purpose. He had a goal in mind. Also, what Jesus taught, of course, like no other, he modeled. He did what he did was in perfect harmony with what he taught. And what he taught was in harmony with what he did. So there's Jesus on this particular Sabbath day. He's in a particular synagogue. And by no accident, present in that synagogue that day at that time when Jesus was teaching was a man, as Mark says in Mark 1:23, there was a man with an unclean spirit. That is an immoral. That is, this demon caused this man to live a life of immorality. Luke describes him as a man who had the spirit of an unclean devil. So this man was demon possessed. Now, demon possession, of course, was very common in Christ's day. I believe that it is even more common today. We give other names to what is truly just demon possession. We give other names for it. That's nicer. It makes people feel better. But a lot of the things that we give other names to, and I'm not going to go through all of that, is just plain out demon possession. And demon possession is rampant today. It's everywhere. And Jesus is the only one. He is the only one who can help the demon possessed. Only Jesus can cast out these demons. So we must not think that demon possession was just during Christ's day. It is very, very real today. You go through the Gospels and you look at the results of demon possession, what demon possession caused, and you see those same things today. But today it's not attributed to demon possession, and I believe that's a mistake. But as Jesus was teaching, this man, or this demon through this man, began to cry out. Luke says in Luke 4 and verse 33 that he cried out with a loud voice. Everybody in the synagogue could hear this demon speaking through this man. Now, both Mark and Luke say the same thing concerning what the demon said. And what the demon said reveals some things about demons. It also reveals some things about the demon possessed. But in Mark 1, verse 24, again, Mark and Luke record the same thing here. But in verse 24, he cried out. Again, Luke tells us that was with a loud voice. And the first thing he said was, "Let us alone." What have we to do with thee? This demon cried out in agony at the presence of Jesus Christ. Demons are in agony. They cannot stand the presence of Jesus Christ. And this demon wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. He cried out, "Leave us alone. Leave us alone. What have we to do with thee?" He cried out also to belittle Jesus Christ. Notice he says, "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" Which was a term of belittlement. It was a term that the enemies of Christ would use. Jesus of Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. So the demons belit, they wanted nothing to do with Christ. They were in agony at the presence of Jesus Christ. Now there are lost people who can tolerate the preaching of Jesus Christ. And there are lost people who are in agony at the very mention of Jesus Christ. And they are immediately angered. And they immediately begin to belittle what is being said. That was a sign, that was the result of demon possession. Now I'm not saying that everyone who is in agony at the presence of Christ is demon possessed, but many are. Nor am I saying that everyone who belittles Christ is possessed of demons, though they do the work of demons. But many who belittle Christ are demon possessed. So this man was in agony at the presence of Christ. This man cried out to belittle Christ. He also, and this describes the reason for his agony and the reason for his belittlement. He was in fear of Christ. He went on to say, "Art thou come to destroy us?" He feared Christ. He knew that Christ had the power to destroy him. "Art thou come to destroy us?" He also cried out with recognition of the purpose, person of Christ. You see, demons, they know more than the lost sinner knows. A demon knows who Jesus is. Even the demons believe. He said, "I know thee who thou art. I know thee who thou art. The Holy One of God." Salvation is more than knowing who Jesus is, because the demons know that, and they're not saved. But he knew that Jesus, who he was, and he knew the holiness of Jesus, and he wanted nothing to do with this Christ. Nothing. And he was in agony. Well, as you read on, you see that Christ delivers the man from the demon. He speaks directly to the demon. Not the man, but he speaks directly to the demon within the man. And once again, both Mark and Luke give the details of this. He says, "Hold thy peace." In other words, be quiet. And come out of him. And the demon then, in anger, threw the man down to the ground in the midst of the assembly and cried out with a loud voice and then left the man as he was. And we read that there in Mark 1, verse 26. "And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him." the effect that this had upon the people. We see once again in verse 27, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they began to talk amongst themselves, saying, what thing is this? What thing is this? But they were also still talking about what he had taught. What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. I believe the demon possessed often frequented the synagogues. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the people of the synagogues really did not know what to do with these people. They had no power over them. But this particular day, Jesus manifested his power over the demonic world and cast the demon out. And they had not seen this before. The scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, this was beyond their power. This was beyond their ability. So once again, they were amazed. And we see that his fame was spread abroad. The people left the synagogue and they began to talk. They began to tell their friends. They began to tell their relatives. And pretty soon the whole town of Capernaum had heard what had transpired that day in the synagogue. They had heard about the teaching of Jesus. And they had heard about what had transpired with this demon-possessed man. And this, of course, is what would eventually lead to a multitude appearing at the door of Peter's house. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we